and let me see if I can push myself to really excel in the field that I just genuinely want to be in. Because at the end of the day, my ultimate goal is I would love to sit here, make this podcast, make my YouTube channel, and just like be able to do this because I love it and I care for it. And like the SEMA is part of this journey for me. What's up, everybody? Welcome back.
This is the Late Night Motor Club,
the only podcast you care about. I'm Alex.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Tyler.
What? Once again.
Wow. No, look at that.
Start doing that every episode.
Another podcast.
But yeah, the last two that you've seen, you might recognize, have been a little bit in-depth background on Steven and I. And today's episode is going to be the one and only Tyler.
Wow.
Boosted rides and power slides.
Boosted rides and power slides.
Let's bring it back. Back in time.
Bringing it back. Oh, man.
All the way to the Stang.
All the way to the Stang. Jeez. Putting me right in the hot seat. Well, what's up, everybody? I'm Tyler at Tyler Cordura on everything. I'm going to go all the way back to the Mustang days. If you guys have recognized from our first podcast, I had kind of mentioned briefly that I started off in a Mustang. Now, I don't want to kind of reiterate something that I've already said before. You guys can kind of catch the podcast then, but I'm going to bring you guys into how I actually started getting into cars, like working on them wise. So starting off in the Mustang, this thing was absolutely clapped. Okay. Like it was a Chicago car, had rust. Mm. This thing had problems. It dropped the lower ball joint, dropped the whole lower control arm on the ground, the front end of the car on the ground, blew the struts. Air conditioning didn't work. The convertible top didn't work. Reverse lights didn't work.
Just none of it?
It was none of it, dude.
Not a car.
it was a piece, to say the least. And I had to... So at this time, I was in high school. So I started driving as a sophomore in high school as soon as I turned 16. And this is the car that I had. So I had no money to fix this thing. And I had to start working so that I can fix my car. The first thing that was bad with it was the convertible top, and it was leaking. It would leak water inside of the car.
And it's always fun.
Yeah. And the air conditioning didn't work. I think that, I don't know if I mentioned that. And so these are the two major things. This was a black on black car. So all leather, everything. So in the summer it was super hot, and in the winter, because the top was ripped and it was cold, ooh, the water would get inside and it would stay cold. So the two big things on my list was to get the convertible top fixed and to get the air conditioning fixed. And at that time, obviously, I have no mechanical skills. My only thing to do was to pay shops. So I had saved up a ton of money to fix this convertible top and then to fix the air conditioning. The air conditioning is the major ticket here. I spent $1,000 to fix this air conditioning, and it didn't work.
What are you doing, dude? Race car, no AC. Come on.
Right. But at that time, I was like, that was the most brutal thing in the entire world, that the air conditioning did not work. And I wanted it to work so badly because, like I said, it's just brutal driving every single day with no air conditioning, especially in the summer. So I spent $1,000 on this air conditioning, paid the shop to fix it. And when they came back after spending $1,000, saving for months, and it didn't work. And the guy was like, hey, it doesn't work because your PCM, which was like the ECU module that controlled it, didn't work. You're going to have to buy a new one for $1,300.
Wow. That's the worst story I've ever heard.
So,
oh my God.
I then, being super defeated, looked up this PCM, right? And I was like, how can I fix this thing without buying a new one?
I feel like that's a heavy first problem. You saved up the money. You're like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to fix this because it's what I want to do.
Like, let's deal with the brain of the car.
Yeah. And then you finally do it, and it's just something totally different that's needed now.
So, like I said, all these other repairs that had added up together, the control arm dropping on the ground, all these other things that I've saved up money and then paid somebody else to do because I couldn't do it. And it costed me not only just in parts, but the labor was ridiculous. And again, spending $1,000 on this air conditioning and it not working, I was dedicated to figuring out how can I make this thing work by myself. So I looked up this relay module, and I was, at that time, like I said, social media wasn't humongous like YouTube, where people posted everything and all their findings there. So I dove deep into the forums, And people were saying, if you drilled out the rivets, if other people were having this problem, if you drilled out the rivets, there was this capacitor or resistor inside the PCM that helped, I don't know what it did, regulated some sort of current, obviously, for the air conditioning unit. They said that will burn and, like, fry. And if you solder it, like take it off and then put a new one on, it will work. And I was like, okay, I got to buy a new one anyways. So I'm going to jump out on a limb here.
See what you can do.
See what I can do. I went down to Radio Shack, bought a $15 soldering iron.
Ooh, that's a name drop right there. Yeah.
Radio Shack.
Bought a $4 capacitor, and I bought two of them, so I spent $8. I went home, and I took apart a broken PlayStation controller that I already knew was broken, and I practiced soldering until I could get that thing to work. And I finally got this PlayStation controller to work, and I was like, I think I'm ready. I drilled apart the PCM, I soldered in this capacitor, and it worked.
Wow.
I made this air conditioning work. And I was like...
How old were you at this time?
I'm like 16.
And that was like the first, like, I mean, not a mod, but like car working.
That was your first, like,
experience.
Hands-on.
Yeah. Hands-on experience, that's, car working thing.
That's such a weird,
like,
first one. Yeah.
Dang.
And so after that, I vowed to myself, I will never bring my car to a shop again. I'm going to do it all myself. And from then on, I did 100% everything there was of anything for the Mustang, and then translating into every other car that I've had.
Gotcha.
So
so with the Mustang, now how does that transition into the mods that you did? Because you did a couple mods on that thing before you got the Genesis, of course.
Right.
Kind of at that time, you're focusing on fixing the car.
Right.
When did you transition into modifying the car?
So this whole time that I'm trying to fix my car, I know that sounded like a really sad story about me trying to, like, get through and fix this car. But at the time, I'm, like, heavy into the car scene. I've said in the previous episode, I was really inspired by, like, Illust, Stance Nation. My friends were all doing things to their cars, like modifying them to make them cool. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a part of that so badly. My friends were lowering their cars on coilovers. It's just every time I was saving up money, it was to fix my car, not to, like, modify it. So finally, when I got over that hump of my car stopped braking, I can finally invest some money into modifying it. That's when I started, like, oh, let me get some Raceland coilovers. Let me tint the taillights black. Let me put a...
I put a high baller budget.
Yeah, I put a 3-inch side exit, straight pipe.
Oh.
No cats, no nothing. And that V8 screamed.
Hey, at least you took the time to, like, get the car fixed and everything before... doing, like, aesthetics and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people miss that. Yeah, where they get a car and it has a bunch of problems, but they totally ignore it, and then they just dump a bunch of money into making it cool, and then they can't drive it because all those problems cause it to not run.
Yeah, I think for me, it was not so much, like, eagerness to be like, oh, let me get this thing fixed. It was just that I didn't trust it, and I didn't have any other car at the time, so whenever my car was down, I had nothing else. I had no other form of transportation.
Yep.
And so for me, it was 100% name of the game was reliability, because I had to drive this thing to get to school and to get to work. But the mods, like you were saying, really was influenced by, like, my homies in high school going to the meets and wanting to be a part of that scene, but not quite being able to. So as soon as I kind of got through that breakthrough of, like, it stopped breaking down, I started modifying it. So that's like... And I did basic, you know, like I said, Raceland coilovers, straight pipe exhaust. I did a...
Tinted taillights. Can't forget to.
Tinted taillights. I tinted the windows on that thing all around, like 100%, all 360. Mm-hmm. Double limo.
Oh, that's...
Ooh.
I can't see out this thing.
I could not see anything. I was like, man, this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So from that point, talking about the Mustang, now where do things go when coming into the Genesis?
So I kind of felt like I grew out of the Mustang. The Mustang that I had was a 98 Mustang GT. It was an ugly one at that. And, like, you know, it wasn't sought after by anybody. And the community was very, very, very niche. And at that time, I was like, I don't want to keep investing money into this older car because I don't really love it. I did love it. I had a very love-hate relationship with it. But I wasn't this is a forever car, you know?
Yeah. You didn't see that long-term.
Yeah, kind of. Especially I was kind of like you, Alex, where I was inspired by the JDM scene, and I really wanted to be in the JDM scene, and I ended up in a Korean car.
Yeah, same L. Nice.
Yeah. I would just really wanted something that was rear-wheel drive, something that was turboed, and, you know, then I could drift.
Yeah. An open dip. Yeah.
In an open dip.
Oh, man.
Shout out.
Yeah.
What made you, like, out of every car you could have picked, I mean, there's plenty of rear-wheel drive turbo cars. What was, like, your biggest, what was your biggest reason for wanting to go with the Genesis, especially the 2.0 turbo?
My biggest inspiration. So the thing for me for the turbo is just because I solely wanted to get a turbo car. I've always been like fascinated by forced induction. So yeah, so I just wanted the turbo real badly. But what I was really inspired by, shout out, gonna have to name drop John, a Genesis. This guy was in Hawaii. His name was John. He had a like teal Genesis with, I can't remember what wheels he had. I want to say they're Volks, and they had a like
works the six spoke.
The six spoke, yeah, with the like rainbow. The neochrome lip, and he was rolling his fenders with a phone book.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Dude, yeah,
phone book method.
Yeah. That was like the only Genesis that was on like Stance Nation and all that stuff.
And it was just so clean for me. I was like, that is something that I want in my life. And not only that, I also, at the time, I was like, I want to pick something that's not so common that everybody else has. My buddy had a 350Z, and I just wanted to get something that was out of the ordinary at the time, because at that time, nobody really had Genesis. When we were on that wave, there wasn't like a whole group of them like there are now.
It was super small. Yeah. I mean, I remember, if anybody knows, Ruined Genesis Crew is like a huge Facebook page now. I remember it was like me and three other dudes who were like, let's just see how many people want to stance these and stuff. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that was a very small community, and I was excited to have something different. And I loved the fact when I had it, everybody would always ask me, because I'd removed all the badges. Everybody's like, what is this?
Oh, yeah. That was like the most common question I would get too. People would think it's like a Porsche or Aston Martin. And I'm like,
it's just
big psych.
Yeah. So that made me feel cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So coming out of high school and coming out of the Mustang, and then like trying to get your foot into that door that you were just talking about with the Genesis, at what point did you decide to really make like actual content around it?
Okay, that's a great question. So, and this is going to kind of parlay back to my Mustang thing. So I did kind of join a little Mustang forum. And because I started doing all these things myself, I actually, with my tinted taillights, I made my own set of sequential taillights. And I made this like relay to plug into my taillights to like change the speed at which they would turn and whatever. So I kind of...
Damn, doing next level stuff like from the get-go.
Yeah, and then people were always asking me with the Mustang, like, hey, I know you're fixing this by yourself. How are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And
are you selling it?
Yeah, and so I would just kind of explain myself over and over and over again, and I figured with the Genesis, when I got it, because from the get-go I knew I was going to get a solid base car that I can just modify and not have problems, so I might as well document everything that I do, because from the very start I knew I wanted to modify it, so I was going to document it so everybody can kind of follow that journey, and if they had any questions I'd just be like, look at the video.
Is that when you jumped on YouTube?
That's when I jumped on YouTube. And that's kind of what revolutionized my whole experience for the car industry and everything. I started off by putting an ISR uppipe on my Genesis Coupe. And the funniest thing, again, I got mad questions about people saying, how did you do that? And I was like, what do you mean? I made the video. They're like, yeah, you made this video and you didn't break any of the bolts. I was like, no, I didn't. I just put it on. And they're like, how did you do that? And then I found out after the fact, I did no research into this. Everybody and their mother breaks the manifold bolts or the flange bolts on the backside of the turbo when they do this housing.
You just got stupid lucky.
And I just got stupid lucky.
Nice.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
Benefit.
Yeah. And so that kind of encouraged me after everybody was super interested in that. I kind of got a little bit of eyes on me because they were like, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And then I kind of parlayed that into more mods and more mods. I did, you know, I put my Megan coilovers on and I slammed them to the ground, and that got me a little bit more traction. And it just kept feeding the beast at that point because people wanted to see what I was doing, and it was the craziest thing. I think it was because there were not a lot of people at the time doing that, or at least for that platform specifically.
There wasn't even like a lot of people vlogging at that point, to be honest. Yeah. Like it was still just comparatively to today with the Genesis scene and like the vlogging kind of YouTube channel scene. Both of those were way
content creation in the automotive scene wasn't really thriving much at all around that time. So it was something very new, and like you jumped on it pretty early, and it's something where you were doing it for the sole reason of wanting to put out content that could potentially help others, because it's something where you learned it, so why not share it with others?
Yeah, and I primarily started my basis of my channel was not just vlogs, it was how-tos. And I was showing how to everything. I was how to tint your taillights red, how to like do this.
Those videos go crazy. Yeah. How-to videos used to be like
the thing.
The biggest. Well, the thing is, how-to videos still pop off right now, because even if it's like 7 years old to like day, there's people still are searching for that type of stuff.
Yeah, I had like very, very early, I was making splitters out of ABS plastic, and people were just mind blown that I was making splitters out of ABS plastic.
People eat that stuff up.
Yeah.
Like custom aero and all that, like making stuff out of plastic and custom parts and all that. People eat that stuff up.
I was doing side skirts, splitters, and it was super funny because that's how I kind of translated into the how to wide body your car and did the clinch fenders. Mm-hmm. And I kind of already spoke how I wanted to do the remake kit, but at the time my YouTube channel started growing so fast and the demand for people that want to see what I was trying to do. And I was like, oh, I got to keep trying to feed this and do. I already had a roadmap of what I wanted. I just couldn't quite get there quick enough at the rate that people wanted to consume it. So I kind of cut corners, and that's how you led to the clinched fender flare whole over thing, over fender type deal.
Just took a little detour. No worries.
took a little detour. It ended up getting there.
Wait, so you couldn't build your car as fast as everybody wanted you to?
That's crazy.
God, no.
What?
Oh my
yeah.
God. Oh my God. So like from then from to current time, how long would you say how long have you had the Genesis?
So at this point now I've had the Genesis I think for 6 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I've had the Genesis for 6 years. The build by itself, my first year of owning the Genesis was the first year that I had YouTube.
Year did you get the Genesis?
I got the Genesis in
2022 minus 6 years.
Yeah, that's 2014. No, it's not. It's 2016. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking 2014. I did 2016. Yeah, I think.
Guys, it's late at night right now.
Yeah.
Don't mind us.
Yeah.
We're just in the motor club, dude. Yeah.
It's hard talking about yourself and thinking about these things.
It's late night.
I got confused because I had my Genesis for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, huh? But that makes sense.
You sold yours.
Yeah. I got mine in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now, I mean, YouTube channel's growing, or it's already grown, and you have gone through a couple name changes, right?
A couple of name changes, yes.
Boosted Rides and Power Slides. Yeah, so
starting off on YouTube, like I said, the primary thing was the how-tos, and I wanted to drift. So my idea, theory behind this thing, I'll kind of give it to you guys, because I don't think I've ever broken this down for people. My idea was I was going to build this turbo car, and I was going to build it into a drift missile. And I was going to drift it. And I was going to have friends who drifted and had boosted cars too. And we were going to be boosted rides and power slides. Because we drifted and we did. And you know what?
No, I get it.
See, that concept sounds so good on paper.
And then it never happened.
And then you realize, damn, where are the friends?
Yeah. Where are the friends? Where are the drifts?
Yeah. And your friends having GTIs, obviously you can't drift with that.
Yeah, what? No.
Just try it, dude.
Yeah, and you know, oddly enough, that's kind of when I transitioned into the car scene out here in like Orange County side, and everybody was so far away because I was in like the IE, and nobody from the IE was like, I mean, they were doing this, don't get me wrong. There's a ton of people doing that, sliding their cars at Adams. Shout out to you guys, but all my friends were out this way.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what happened to like, what would you say would be the biggest turning point into kind of catching up to getting the Porsche or the Cayman?
Porsche, sorry. Oh, my God.
Porsche. The biggest turning point. That's a good question. I think it was a change in maturity and the ability to get something that I said that I always wanted. And I felt like the genesis has gone far enough, you know? So I do envision building.
But you still have the genesis.
I still have the genesis. I still have the genesis. Yeah. And I have plans that I really think that I want to get back to turning it into a drift car.
I wish I still had mine.
Before we move into the Cayman, talk about kind of the genesis a little bit in terms of, like, I know you talked about the clinch flares a little bit, but then you transitioned into the the next wide body kit, and then you did even more in terms of power mods and a lot of other custom stuff.
Yeah.
As well as making some parts too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So let's dive into this whole experience because I think this kind of goes hand in hand with you two.
The Tyler experience.
Oh my god. The Tyler experience. We have to experience it from the whole YouTube experience building the Genesis to kind of explain this because it's a little chaotic in the sense of like when I first started the YouTube, like I said, I was doing the how-to things and I was really passionate about doing that. I was just excited in general to do this because I've never ventured out, done anything like this before. At this time, I had 200 people following me on Instagram and that was it. Mm-hmm. And when I started building the Genesis, I started getting more traction of people wanting to see me do these things. And I had this roadmap for the Genesis for it to be this wide body, crazy drift car thing. And it just, every week I was putting 3 videos out a week.
Dang.
And so I was really feeding this beast. And so the car needed to transform really fast. So for my first year building the Genesis, I went from 0 subscribers to 10,000 in a single year. My car also went from bone stock, essentially, to 2 versions of a wide body. So I literally, the first 6 months on YouTube, it was coilovers, the ISR uppipe. The biggest thing, I put a watt box on my car, which is like a 2-step thing to do flames.
You were like one of the first dudes I remember back then seeing have like a watt box. I was like, this is the sickest shit I've ever seen in my life. Dude. But 3 videos a week, that is...
3 even videos
by,
a week.
I mean, even by today's standards where everyone's like, oh, daily. It's like, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
I was doing 1 a week back then, and that was like, I could barely do that.
Yeah, it was a lot. Sometimes I don't even remember how I got all this stuff done, but I just kept making more and more and more videos.
Well, another thing with like that much content you're pushing out, you're constantly having to think of new things to do to your car where it's like, you're just putting more mods, because it's like, I got to make content.
Right. And I was just excited to do that. So I ended up doing the whole clinch flare wide body thing. I plasti dipped the car, this chameleon color. Yeah. It was actually sick. It was really cool. Alex saw it. It was like actually done well. We did it out of a gun.
Is that the one that I filmed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Insert the clip of it going from the shade to the building right here. It's pretty wild.
Oh, actually, I think that may have been the wrap. But whatever.
Wait, what?
Yeah. we're confusing things because we're hanging out multiple times at that point.
I'm thinking of different times.
And so I had the clinch flares, plasti dipped it. It was really sick. I did this shootout plasti dip versus wrap at the time to explain how plasti dip and wrap like compare because one was significantly cheaper and you can apply it yourself. Like what were the differences? So in that transitional period, this is like my 7 to 8 month mark on YouTube. I completely did a whole new wide body change on the Genesis. I did the, the full like remake thing. Mm-hmm. I took this Rocket Bunny duckbill wing from a 240. It was a replica one off eBay because it was ABS plastic. And at the time there is no duckbill wing. So I took that and heated it with a heat gun and morphed it onto my trunk. And it
custom.
And it was sick. And after I did that,
they came out with one.
They came out with like 4 different versions of them.
Seeing trends here.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
A trend sender over here.
Yeah. It's always a little bit of a bummer to be like the first to do these things because right after you do them, people just copy it and then it's way more accessible, way easier. And you're like, yo, I wish that was my case, but okay, no.
Yeah. But what was really cool for me, what I was excited about is that people were watching it and then copying it. Yeah. So for me, I wasn't like, oh, you're copying me. I was like, this is cool. Like, I guess I
should put these out.
That's pretty crazy. And so after I changed the wide body kit, I peeled off the plasti dip and then I wrapped it. And that's when I did that psychedelic.
Was that the color I'm thinking
that's
about?
That's the color you
okay,
did.
Okay, now put the clip in right here.
I did 3M psychedelic full wrap. I still had that duckbill wing. And this was my first set of three-piece wheels. And I had imported a set of Riverside Traffic Star DTXs, I believe. And this was my idea to do a VIP track build.
VIP GT?
Yeah, VIP GT inspired thing. And people hated it.
Yeah,
it
people was, did not like the wheel combination.
People did not like the wheel combination.
The wheels
whatsoever.
Are so sick. Even just like just by themselves, they're but, so yeah. sick.
By themselves, I still love those wheels. I think they're sick. They definitely were for Alexis.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it was still cool. Nobody messed with that though.
Think outside the Watt box.
Oh my gosh!
Kill me now,
that
please.
That was a good one.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So now. Modifying your car, you just touched on like a custom part that you kind of created. Yeah. So now this branches off into wanting to create custom parts for this platform, right?
So now as my car is continually getting way more crazy and crazy, and I'm still feeding this beast, having fun, making videos on YouTube, I'm like, I want to do stuff that it's out of the box that you don't see. And at the time, doing a chassis mount wing was popular, but it was kind of out of the box for the Genesis. Only one company at the time was making a chassis mount wing, which was Street Faction.
Yeah.
And they had like a crazy lead time for those wings because they weren't mass producing them. And I wanted something that was a little different because the wing stands for that wasn't my style, and I wanted something more similar to Battle Arrow.
When chassis mounts came out, they were like the most standout, unique thing at the time.
Yeah.
And they were wild when they came out.
Yeah. Like, it was just like everybody was losing it because, like, we'd never seen anything like that. And I remember seeing you try to make your own. I was like, oh, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But obviously now they're, you know, but back then they were actually like sick.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild to see, like, when something first hits the market and, like, it's super new? And then 5-6 years later, we just see it everywhere.
Yeah,
it's just
we're like, nah.
It just becomes a mod that like you don't want anymore because you see it on everything.
Yeah.
I had a buddy with a 350Z who kind of with like impulse bought one, put it on, and then my buddy from Tennessee came down to visit, saw his, and then he impulse bought one and put it on, and they both got rid of it within like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. I feel like I was kind of on that same trend. I think I got rid of mine around the same like 4 or 5 month mark. Mm-hmm. They became super popular. Well, the thing is with mine, I did the first Battle Arrow chassis mount wing for the Genesis Coupe. And the funny thing is I took a V3 BRZ chassis mount wing from Battle Arrow. Shout out Supercar Suspects. I took Chris's wing. I knew Chris at the time, and he was like, hey, I'm gonna get rid of this. I know you're trying to build this project. Do you want it? And I was like, yes, I will take that, and I'll make this. And my goal was to take those base plates and make templates and build kind of like whose car was it? Daniels, I think, who had
the reverse swan.
And my goal was to make a subframe mounted chassis mount wing for the Genesis. And I had with my buddy, we R&D'd these plates, and I had taken so many polls of asking all these people, would you buy this, and the results were so crazy through the roof that people would buy it. And then no hate to Battle Arrow, they then made the wing. And everybody was like, I'm just going to buy that.
Shit happens.
It's okay. They were already in production of it. I just kind of happened to do it a little bit before their R&D happened and they made that wing. So
sure,
I kind of canned that idea because I was like, it's taken a lot. And I already liked the look of how it looked as it was.
Now with that, you started development on some other parts.
I did start development of other parts. That got the gears turning. So I then, after that, turboed my car, put a big turbo on my car. I put a CX Racing kit on it.
Big turbski.
Yep, I put like a 76 millimeter GT35R turbo on it. We ended up, it was the whole thing, Helltech. I did a spec stage 2 flywheel and clutch, flex fuel E85, the whole nine yards. Fully built besides the engine. I didn't actually build it like pistons and rods. We still made 450 wheel horsepower out of it, and it's still going today.
See, that's fun power, though.
Yeah, it is fun. Definitely. It's super fun. And so because I made that, I was like, I need to extract heat. I need my engine bay to not be so hot. So I started R&Ding some hood vents. And the thing for me is I wanted to be able to make hood vents that also you could drive in the rain and wash your car, because I didn't want water to go inside my, hood vents. So I had made the and first thing that I've seen, hood vents that you can bolt onto your car that are modular, that also have a cover that you could then seal it when you want to wash your car or drive it in the rain. So it wasn't just a seasonal car, and you could still get the functionality of the vents. And I ended up producing those with one of my really good friends, Brandon. Shout out to you, homie, because that would have never happened without him. And we ended up selling like 15 sets of these hood vents that got installed on not just Genesis, various other cars, even a Honda. I think it's a Honda Accord.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So I was like, this is crazy. People are cutting their cars and putting my parts on their car.
That's a big commitment for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, these people are like just taking an angle grinder to their thing to put my thing on. Like, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It was awesome. And I thought
it was probably such like a good feeling too, where it's like you created something which originally stemmed for yourself, and then you created it and put it out there and people actually bought it.
Yeah.
People wanted to put it on their car. So it was
insane.
Like, I'm sure it was an immense feeling, to see other people rocking what you created, your vision.
Yeah, it was so cool, and that really like inspired me to like, oh, I can make all these other vents and all this other things.
The ideas run endlessly.
Yeah, and I went kind of off the deep end with that, and unfortunately what stopped our production is the whole 2020.
COVID-o.
Yeah.
Oh, the vid?
The vid kind of happened and put a big stop to that one, but
fire.
Hopefully soon in the future, we can find some more manufacturers, and we have some more R&D and development to potentially come out with more and more designs.
Oh, get ready for some sick parts.
Sick parts, bro.
Oh, yeah.
So,
not COVID sick, but just sick.
Sick, nah. Yeah.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
I might sneeze on them, bro.
Wow.
Back on topic. Talking about the Genesis, talking about
the 20,
creating parts. Yeah. Doing some more mods and all that, and upgraded turbo and all that too. Now there's another car into the mix.
Yep.
This is my style of car.
Yeah.
It also has this car. It also has a bunch of vents.
It's also got a bunch of vents. Yeah. My Cayman. I have a 2012 Porsche Cayman. Porsche for everybody who's triggered.
Porsche.
It's Porsche.
And like I said, this for me was a car really that was maturing in the sense of like, I've modded the Genesis. This was my learning phase. I went through a lot of, I hate to use the term, ricer phase of like putting on parts that were not the greatest, I'll admit. And now I'm like, okay, let's do this from the ground up, not just right, but let's do it tastefully, and let's do it just to the highest quality that I can. And so right now I am building, shout out Karma, the first Karma wide body Cayman in Northern America, and currently the only one, and hopefully to debut at SEMA 2022.
Oh, yeah.
For the Battle of Young Guns.
Which is awesome to hear, because when I first found out about him doing something like that, because he kind of teased it to me a little bit, like a while back.
I did.
He teased it.
Before I even got the kit.
I got something special. And I was just like, what? And he told me, and I was just like, dude, that's insane.
Yeah.
Because it's the first one in North America, and working with a company like that to bring something
it's
to
awesome.
The States. And it's insane.
I've never been like a super big special part person with like serial numbers and whatever, but this one is like, kind of hits home because it is the first production kit. So I have like serial number, technically two, because the first production car that they made was like
on
the company car, the molds and whatnot. But I'm the first, I guess, customer, you would say, with this kit.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. I remember you texted me or DM'd me or something, and you were like, I got something sick. And I was like, oh, yeah? And it was a Rocket Bunny kit.
Yeah.
And then a couple months later, you're like, I got something sick again.
Yeah.
Totally different kit.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about that. I have two kits for that car.
Have it?
Yeah, I still have it.
Let's wide body the couch, dude.
Yeah, bro. But if anybody has a Cayman out there that wants a sick wide body.
I got you.
Hit Tyler up.
Yeah, definitely. It's because I had a whole different plan for that car. I actually came out with renderings and this whole crazy idea that I was going to build with this car.
Which, that idea, don't get me wrong, was freaking sick. Like, how you incorporated the RWB style wing. Everything. It looked crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then somebody
saw the render.
And kind of stole that thunder.
Your first mistake, you never post the render.
Yeah, I posted it a little too early before I was ready. So I had, like, bought some parts and were waiting for them to come in and released my rendering, and somebody was a little ahead of me in the wide body game of receiving their kit. And then he was like, "That's sick. I'm going to do that."
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Dude, I photoshopped the LC a bunch of times, and I mean, I didn't foresee anybody like 100% trying to copy that or whatever, but I still was like,
yeah,
I'm not going to post it.
A little nervous.
I've seen some things go south.
See, I think my problem is that I just get excited. I'm like, I want to share it with people. I'm like, this is so cool.
And it's something where it's like, we're content creators.
Yeah.
And it's something where we sharing content, sharing what we're doing is part of the game for us.
Yeah,
so
and
it's hard not to share what we're in the process of and what our vision is. But yeah, it could go south sometimes.
Yeah. And for me, it just comes really from the heart, and so I'm like so passionate about it, and I just want to share it. I don't even care if it does well or not. I'm like, look at what I'm doing. Yeah. Not in a sense of like showcasing, like, look at this.
You're proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is cool.
Like, this is like, I've been working on this for a minute.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So after that, now you have the Karma kit.
Now I have the
developing
Karma kit.
Developing that.
I have done some reverse mount hardware, so this thing is completely seamless, flush. I've taken like crazy measures to mount this thing seamlessly, and it's just been the biggest battle because it has been hard to figure out how to do something that hasn't been done.
Yep, because it's so what Tyler's doing is not just bolting up a kit and calling it a day. He is reworking this entire kit to get it fitting like how he wants to fit, and doing a lot of custom things to it to fit even better.
Yeah, especially with that hardware.
Yes.
That's
the hidden hardware and how you're mounting the kit to where it's mounting it completely different than how it was meant to be.
How many pieces is it?
That is a great question. There is a ton of pieces
it's
to this kit. So there's a front bumper, rear bumper, side, two side skirts, rear flares, front flares, the side vents, side skirts, front splitter, rear diffuser, wing, and side vents.
So a whole nother car.
A whole nother
pretty
car.
Pretty much.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah. It's going to be insane, though.
And
just seeing the progress
so
you've
close,
done so far.
So close.
And the details with, like, the carbon vents and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Back to vents.
Back to vents.
Vented.
I made handmade carbon fiber vents. Well, I was handmade carbon fiber skin, those vents that were on the kit. And then I made a handmade carbon fiber steering wheel for that car. And then I put those carbon fiber Sparco bucket seats in there. So it's just,
those,
like, it's going to be carbon every day.
But the cool thing is you're doing it all hands-on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing it yourself. And that goes into, like, what you kind of briefly mentioned is SEMA Young Guns as well.
Yeah, so that's the goal, and that's why I'm doing everything to this extent. It is to kind of prove to myself, like, am I really worth it? Time to put my money where my mouth is. I've been building cars in this car game for, like, 10 years. Can I build something to the stature to compete with all the other name brands out there?
Y'all have fun with that. I'll be on the couch trying to make my suspension not creak.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, when Tyler first told me that he's pushing to want to put the car into SEMA Young Guns, I was very, very stoked to hear that, given that I've been through that whole experience with it. And seeing another person that I'm close with go through that experience and challenge themselves and push themselves with their own personal build, it's always something really cool to see. And it's going to be cool to see the car finished and out at SEMA and pretty much competing in the Young Guns and seeing what you could do. And the biggest thing is it's putting your name out.
Yeah.
It's having your name attached to your own personal build and having it be recognized on a industry leading platform as in SEMA.
Right. I just want to be able to do something and have like an accolade, like I did something with my life. This is not anything to like hold over everybody and be like, look at how good I am, this, whatever. It's to kind of prove it to myself and be like, you know what? This is what I'm passionate about.
Good.
And let me see if I can push myself to really excel in the field that I just genuinely want to be in. Because at the end of the day, my ultimate goal is I would love to sit here, make this podcast, make my YouTube channel, and just like be able to do this because I love it and I care for it. And like the SEMA is part of this journey for me to be like, I've made it. Like I want, maybe we'll leave a little background for you guys. Like,
trust me, it's an addiction though.
Yeah.
Once you have your car once at SEMA.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're going to want it there?
Every year, and then you think of more cars to do, and then you're just like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Expensive.
Yeah, it sounds expensive.
It's very expensive and very time-consuming.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, would you ever imagine that you drilling out some rivets on your Mustang would eventually lead you to like all this custom work on a Porsche?
Dude, that's so funny.
I don't like saying Porsche. I say Porsche. Sue me.
Yeah, I say Porsche too.
Porsche will sue you.
Okay. Come at me, bro. Come at me.
Actually, don't come at me because I don't have that big of lawyers.
I actually got a good one. Come at me.
And actually, I'm not going to say anything. My uncle's.
Right. Okay.
My uncle's O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
so
is that kind of caught up to where we are today?
So that's kind of how we caught up. But to answer your question, I mean, that kind of just hit home because it's funny. I get a lot of people who ask questions all the time about like, how do you feel comfortable drilling into your Porsche? And I'm like,
I've been drilling into all my cars.
At this phase and with this level of car, people are extremely nervous to do anything. And to be honest, I didn't bat an eye. I didn't feel anything doing it. I was excited to do it, actually. And at that time, for my Mustang, my $2,500 clapped out car, I was probably the most scared to drill into because I was like, if I do this and it doesn't work, I'm going to, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Whereas, like, the Porsche, I didn't even break a sweat. I didn't stress. I was like, fathom the thought of me ruining it because I just felt like there's no way I could not fix what I had done.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because my skill set has grown so much from that time as opposed to that time at the Mustang where I had very little and everything to me was just unknown and a question of what if, how do I, as opposed to like, I can now problem solve myself. So, you know, it's funny because I think that relates to a lot of people brand new in the car scene. Doing these brand new things is a very scary venture. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do it is actually to kind of just do it and learn. You do make mistakes, and I'm not going to say you're not.
Yeah,
you do.
You're going to go through a bunch.
Yeah.
If you have ideas with something, figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's all about. If you have ideas to do something and you have the passion to want to create something in terms of your build, parts, anything, do it. The only thing stopping 100%. You is you. And if you say, money's an issue, this and that, figure out a way to get more money then.
Well, I mean.
So there's always going to be a solution.
If you have the ability to start modifying cars, then if you can't afford to modify your cars, do not throw your life away to do this. I highly recommend against that.
Yeah that's, dang.
Yeah.
You're actually speaking real facts now.
Yeah, we do support. We do not support making financial poor decisions. Don't throw your whole life away to try and do this.
I do it, but I do not support it.
Yeah.
I do not recommend this for most people.
Unless you're really confident with what you're doing and you think it's really going to be profitable.
Oh, you guys are confident in that?
So confident.
Yeah.
I'm not. Okay.
No.
But, I think that's a good...
Yeah. That's a great point.
A little bio and
great little bio and background. Background on me. I never felt like I was gonna talk about myself this much in my life.
Hell yeah. Well, I think that's gonna bring
that kinda sums it up.
So yeah, we're gonna go right into the
now that we're brought all up.
Yeah. The current event for this week is Steve, you wanna go? You wanna rip it?
Yeah.
Rip
so it. The current event for the week is talking about Mercedes AMG releasing a e-turbo. And what I mean by that,
e-turbo.
Yeah. It's a pretty much an electric turbo. So it's an electric exhaust gas turbocharger that's going to be developed in partnership with Garrett. And this pretty much piece of technology that promises to make turbo lag a thing of the past thanks to a small electric motor integrated on the turbocharger shaft between the turbine wheel and the compressor wheel. And this turbo is going to be included with a 2.0 four-cylinder motor. Yes, so that's...
AMG, no longer V8?
Yep, so that means it's going to be a four-banger.
2.0, yeah. Hey, don't shoot on the four-banger, bro. Little four-banger makes 450 wheel horsepower.
I have a four-banger, and I'm disappointed that it's going to be a four-banger.
Nothing against the four-bangers, but just that AMG exhaust note was always like the...
The aggressive throatiness.
Deep, super deep. That
it was the chef's kiss.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what it's going to sound like now, but obviously the turbo.
It's going to be interesting to see how, if this thing is even going to come into fruition. Of course, it's more so like news and a rumor that AMG is going to be kind of doing this, but it's something cool where the potential power out of this setup is going to be roughly right around 380, 400 horsepower out of the setup, out of a 2.0 four-banger with the electric turbo. But the benefits of the electric turbo is going to be
turbo lag,
where it's going to be very beneficial in low RPM, low speed, to where that boost is going to be built up right away from that electric motor, so you're going straight into boost, pretty much.
Which I'm, like, really, really curious about the concept of this electrically assisted turbo, if that's what we can call it. I don't even know if that's a proper thing, because, like, my thought process and how the turbo, like, functions, right, is the compressor wheel that runs on exhaust gases. Now, what part of this electric motor... Like, where does it belong inside the turbo? Is this something that wears? Is this something that goes out? Is this a part? Is it a, I don't know.
So, according to the article, here's how it describes it. The motor drives the compressor wheel on the fresh air side of the turbocharger before the turbine wheel on the exhaust side accepts the exhaust gas flow, thus improving the response from idle and at higher revs.
So, essentially, it is a procharger until it hits boost.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. And it's capable of spinning up to 170,000 revolutions per minute. The e-turbo maintains boost pressure even when you take the foot off the gas pedal.
Oh, that's crazy. So it's going to be boosted into the manifold.
Like, so much the motor is constantly charging the turbo even when you're off throttle. So that way when you get on throttle...
You're just right there.
Induction. That's going to be a linear power band off of a... turbocharger. That's insane to even think of.
Yeah.
Well, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to find a replacement for displacement.
Replacement for displacement. And you know what?
Electric motors.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that solution because it sounds really cool. I'm just curious how efficient it actually works. And then at the end of the day,
it's an e-turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything has to have electric involved into it nowadays. Yeah. So
it's like when everything used to have an I in front of it to make us think it's so high tech. Like,
right.
Get an I home, bro. It's just an alarm clock. but yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm also interested of why now?
Yeah.
Like, obviously it will help with gas mileage and all that kind of stuff. But it's not really doing it for that because it's AMG.
Right.
I think because the non-AMG models, they're going to be pushing the full EV, the full electric to it.
True. Forgot about that.
With the AMG series, they want to try to keep the performance aspect alive. So, of course, they're going to keep a combustion engine.
Yeah.
But they're going to try to figure out a way to keep a combustion engine as economical as possible to where, four cylinders are going to be more efficient compared to a V8.
That makes sense, not having an electric and a V8 on the same lineup.
Right.
You know?
I want to go back to the electric turbo thing and how you're saying why now. Since I've had my Mustang, they've been making electric turbos that you can buy on eBay, and they claim that these things work. Did somebody finally say, you know what? You guys are probably on to something.
You know, Mercedes probably bought one of those eBay turbos, and they were like, this is perfect for our R&D.
Yeah, that's definitely what they do, for sure.
Yeah. I think so. So, guys, Mercedes AMG, eBay turbos, let's see what they can do.
Hey,
the electric turbo at that.
Godspeed, brother. No pun intended.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's a name drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was a quick little current event. Yeah, talking
that's
about.
Interesting.
Drop it down in the comments below. What do you guys think? If you're listening to this on Spotify, tell Steven what you think.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah.
It's Steven's turn.
Let everybody know how this actually doesn't matter because none of us are going to afford AMGs anyway. So.
Yeah.
I don't want a four-cylinder AMG. There's so many better car options, in my opinion, that I could buy, like more Volkswagens.
Yeah.
Why think about an AMG when you could buy another GTI, bro?
Yeah. So many GTIs.
What are these
the cost
people
of an AMG?
Doing, bro? G-Wagon? Nah.
GTI.
GTI wagon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay then.
You guys want to go into the weekly
late
picks?
Night call out.
Okay. Late night call out.
Who's going first this time? Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it's Steven.
You know what? Just go.
I'm going first?
Yeah.
My late night call out of the evening is Ox Taco. His name's Justin, and he has a insane Renault Dauphine. And this thing is wild. You just think it's just a kind of like an older car, but the amount of work put into this thing, what he did is he pretty much built up a full custom chassis from scratch. And then just took a body of this Renault and just plopped it on. And this thing is wild. It's, like I
insane.
Said, full custom chassis, push rod suspension, front and rear. And then he took a VW VR6 motor, plopped it in the rear. So it's literally right behind the seats. Little firewall put together, VR6 motor. But yeah, this thing is just
it's wild. It is wild.
It's also wide. He put some flares on it. The wheels stick out past the body of the car immensely, and this thing just looks wild. He's worked with Toyo and Hoonigans in terms of putting out content of the car too.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yep. Okay. So go check out videos about the car there. You could see it ripping. Car is insanely loud too. But then it just rips the canyons like no other car I've seen.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's pretty wild.
And you know what I really appreciate about the build? The patina.
Oh, yeah. He kept it all patina. But
It looks great.
Yeah, last thing about it is he's an awesome dude in terms of just talking with him. If you ever have questions or anything like that, he's always been super, super genuine in terms of me asking questions about the process of building this, building that. And he's always there to help. And very humble dude. Really cool dude. So go give him a follow. Well worth it. And he has a lot of cool stuff in the future of what he's going to be doing.
Definitely. So I think I'll take on my call out next.
Go for it.
Let's hear it.
And that's a steep call out to follow after. But mine is going to be, since this is my episode, this one is going to be special, near and dear to me. One of my really good friends, Kyle Jones, otherwise known as Cruising by Design. Not only has he built an insane Genesis coupe that's like carbon, like probably one of the most insane Genesis coupes that you've seen, but he now has his own shop, Cruising by Design, out here in Southern California, located in Ontario. If you guys need any work, check him out, because he does everything balls to the walls and will not accept anything less. Like, every project that comes into this guy's shop is insane. If you guys have seen any of the trunk setups that he has done.
He goes the extra mile with his work.
Yeah, they really do. The last trunk setup that they did was on this Tesla, and this is what I kind of want to touch on. And it was emulating a circuit board. So they took a blank sheet of carbon fiber, like a sheet of carbon fiber, cut it down to the shape of the trunk of the Tesla, cut out a window for plexiglass to sit in, built a whole trunk housing underneath that to house the compressor and the tank, and made it with the mirrors to look like it was just infinitely just a bunch of tanks. And
yeah, it looks wild.
Yeah, and then off of that, the airlines transfer into this continuous panel of carbon fiber, which they've cut out slits in and lit them up like a circuit board. It's the craziest concept I've ever seen and the most insane trunk setup I've ever seen.
And the cool thing about that is, like, the creativity to even think of a design like that.
Yeah.
It it's insane. Like, somebody just wouldn't think about that.
Yeah. And Kyle is so meticulous about everything, and this is what I love about Kyle the most. I'll be sitting there working on my own car, and he's going to be like, that spot right there shouldn't be like that. And it can be like this big, and he's like, I don't mess with that. Don't do that. If you're not going to do it, right, don't do it at all. And I'm like, okay, fine, Kyle. I will go back over this and fix this one spot for you. But he's awesome dude. Very cool. If you guys ever have the chance to get your car worked on by him, go do it.
Hell yeah. That's it. Kyle. Yeah. No, he's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
Well, for mine, of course, we're going to go into another stance guy after you guys talk about some crazy detail builds.
Well, that's why you're the stance guy.
Yeah. This is also a crazy detail build, just in a
stance way.
In a stance way. Yeah. Yeah. My pick this week is Who's Hundra, one of the cleanest Q45s, I think, that I've seen in my personal opinion. He's gone through a ton of different looks. It's on some fat SSR Viennas.
Nice.
It's black, white and pink interior that he's done all custom, I believe. And I think he's gone through walled kits, aim gain, all kinds of different stuff. And he has
pure
another
VIP stuff.
Yeah, he's in Karuma again. Shout out the homies.
They got some insane level cars.
Yeah, they're all sick. Yeah, it's hard to avoid it. They're all fire. but yeah, static fitments, insane. That's cool dude.
That's the thing I think I have the most respect for them for is they stay true to the scene and they're static till they die.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for making me feel bad. Anyways, but it's just immaculate. If you know hardcore JDM stuff, it's you'll like this. It's super super fine detail and just mwah.
Ooh,
perfect. I tried to buy a Hello Kitty toll pass off him, and because he imports all kinds of crazy stuff. I think he does containers and things now for body kits and all that. But yeah, hit him up if you're looking for some extra
JDM
spice for your car. But yeah, shout him.
I love seeing cars like that where it's they spend the extra time and detail into just little cool culture things about the car too.
And it's always progressing. Obviously, it's full Tita man. But he's also got another Q45 that's, I believe, also similar style. But if you want to see that one, go check his profile. But other than that, just clean stuff. Stock body for life.
See, the cool thing about your call-outs where it's I would say Tyler and I's call-outs the past few episodes, they've been more on the extreme side with how the builds are.
Yeah.
A lot of wide body, just extreme stuff. All your call-outs have been very clean, tasteful.
Very clean.
Refined type of stuff.
That's my taste.
Where, it's cool seeing the variety between the three of us of our different tastes as well.
Yeah, they're definitely very, very different.
Yeah.
They're different, but it's
we all appreciate the same stuff.
Yeah.
Very much appreciate it. And the level of work put into each one of these builds, they're different in their own way, but nonetheless, a lot of work into each of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and that's what this whole last, I guess, call out segment's all about. It's showing the variety of builds that are in the community.
Yeah.
And giving them all love.
Mm-hmm.
So, ending it.
Not respect all builds, but respect all types of builds. Gang.
Hey, there you go. There it is.
Next week.
Yes. Yeah.
Next week we're doing the Q&A stuff. We didn't have time to fit them into these, but we're going to do a rapid fire one, a little bit more fast paced. So if you want to check that out, that'll be next week.
If you want to be a part of it, DM Steven.
No,
please,
we're all gonna put separate stuff on our stories for questions, and then you can answer.
So keep your eyes out for kind of a write your own question type of thing on all of our profiles.
Yeah.
And that's where you could add in your question for a chance to
for us to answer it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Sick. But
other than that, hope you guys enjoyed.
Subscribe.
Thank you for watching.
Smash that bell button, bro.
Let's go. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.